What are the true origins of the Wim Hof method? This is actually a really important question, and it has been coming up a lot in the conversations I've been having online and offline about this thing that I have been practicing for 10 years, and now millions of people around the world are doing the cold exposure, the breath work, and getting quite a lot out of it. But a lot of people want to know, did Wim invent this out of thin air? Is this some version of yoga? What is going on? Well, luckily, I have the answer, and it's a little complex. So I'm going to dig in by doing two things. I'm going to talk to you about the background, what I know from having conversations with Wim since about 2013 about this subject and other subjects. And I'm also going to use some of Wim's own words from a video that he put out about his yogic studies back in the 80s and 90s that give a really, really good insight to how this method developed in the first place. This is a particularly important and contentious question right now, probably because there are so many different practices out there. Cold bathing is no longer just the realm of Wim Hof. Lots of people have ice baths. There's lots of ice bath products. A lot of, like, you know, health influencers talking to you about the power of the ice, and the Wim Hof method is only one sliver of this broader movement, which is going on around the world. One that I think is really, really great. But I will say that Wim was probably the guy who reinvigorated it for a lot of the world, starting in like 2013-ish. He really ignited a passion in millions of people and deserves a ton of credit for that. But this episode is really about, well, where did he come up with the ideas? Where did it originate for him and in the culture at large? Now, it's no secret that Wim Hof is reasonably or maybe even expertly familiar with yogic techniques. Well, this is because, according to him, in the 80s, he went to meet with a Hindu priest and decided to go deep into esoteric techniques that were just coming to his awareness. In fact, this is what he says about yoga at that time.
And yoga in those times was something unknown.
Now, yoga was not actually unknown back in the 1980s. In fact, there is a long history of how yoga came to the United States, to Europe, through the Theosophical Society. And I wrote a little bit about that transition in my book, The Enlightenment Trap. But to give Wim credit, maybe it had been sort of unknown to him. And there was, of course, this huge resurgence of interest in yoga when the Beatles went to study with the Maharishi in Varanasi and came back playing the sitar and doing yoga poses. Wim caught on to that wave and decided to dig deep himself.
I taught myself in Amsterdam how to read and write Sanskrit and to get into the scriptures and to have a full understanding of the Hinduistic culture.
Now, learning Sanskrit is not an easy task. If you talk to Sanskrit experts or Hindu priests, the general rule of thumb is it takes about 7 years to master Sanskrit. However, in Wim's defense, he has an amazing capability with languages. He seems to be able to pick them up incredibly easy in a way that makes an American awestruck. Now, the Dutch are really well known for their language abilities, and, you know, he's Dutch, and maybe there's something there, or maybe Wim has just a good facility with languages. However, I do not think that Wim is actually fluent in Sanskrit. Instead, he studied with some unnamed Hindu priest, and, you know, it's interesting, he never actually mentions who this specific person is, presumably in Amsterdam, and begins delving in to yoga.
So I had to go and dive deep into the yoga, into the scriptures.
And this is where it gets really interesting, because in this video, he is holding this book. It looks like a collage book, like something that he wrote out on a typewriter about what he had learned in his yogic studies. It is clearly a self-published work. There's probably only one in existence, but it shows these really awesome poses that Wim is doing. Clearly, he is crunching information. It shows the origins of his sort of what they call the one-armed bandit pose, where he's uses just one hand to support himself as he's sort of horizontal to the ground. Super interesting stuff. And this is an amazing, amazing document because, as he says, his reasoning here for writing this book was,
I had to find a way to get an understanding of the real depth, because the blah, blah about Prakriti, the Purusha, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, Matar Sarvam, and all that was like Latin or gibberish. And I had to update it.
In other words, Wim had studied yoga extensively and wanted to find a way to make it meaningful, because he said it was gibberish. Because when you start getting into yogic understanding, there is a lot of philosophy here. There is a lot of very in-depth learning, and the practices are not just about physical states that you might achieve, but how that connects to the soul, to the Atman, to your connection to the universe and the karmic cycle of rebirth and death. And Wim said, well, he said that was gibberish. It was like reading Latin. It was too out there for him. And so then he developed his own techniques.
I went into the cold water. I had developed my own kind of yoga, you know, instinctively, intuitively. I could not really understand what this was all about. This was a different culture coming from thousands of years ago. And it appealed to me, but really understanding, I did not. It's too esoteric, too far away.
Now, the origins of the cold water section of the Wim Hof method has been recounted on numerous occasions. Here's what he told me back in 2013, and then I recounted in my book, What Doesn't Kill Us. One day, Wim was walking around in Amsterdam and he saw cold water. It was the winter. These canals were icy, but they weren't so icy that you couldn't get into the water. He decided that he wanted to just see what that cold water felt like, and he jumped into the canal and started hyperventilating in the water. But he also had this sensation that the cold felt really, really good. He felt alive in a way he'd never felt before. Then, later, he went back onto dry land and then mimicked that breathing pattern that had automatically arisen while he was in the cold water, and presto, he had developed the breathing method and the water ice immersion method, and the Wim Hof method was born. Now, this second story, the one that I just told you about him jumping into the canal, is really, really interesting because when he told me it in 2013, he barely mentioned any yogic training at all. He more or less said that he invented this out of thin air. Yeah, sure, he'd studied yoga and was aware of it, but this was his thing that he learned because his body and nature taught it to him. Now, I find this maybe a little problematic because obviously his ice water immersion started after he had delved into yoga. In fact, in that video, he said he began becoming fascinated with yoga in 1972 when he was just 12 years old, when he and his brother Marcel were out playing with their breath and just interested in Hindu topics. The ice water sort of emerges afterwards. And Wim, well, he certainly did play in ice water quite a bit. You know, he learned a lot from it. But did he come up with it? Well, that's a really, really interesting and difficult question to answer. What we do know, however, is that Wim traveled to India in the 1980s and studied, I believe, in either Rishikesh or Mussoorie. He's never very clear on it. When we talk about his travels in India, Wim gets really, really quiet and the details get very, very hazy. Even though it's clear, you know, he said he studied Sanskrit. Well, who did he study Sanskrit from? You know, who did he actually learn these breathing techniques from? Though that lineage, whatever that past is curiously erased. And there's this really, really interesting part of the video that he posted where he's talking about the value of the manuscript that he's now holding, this sort of old dilapidated book with pages that seem stapled together, where he talks about it. And you can hear that his son, Anum, is in the background. And I want you to listen really, really closely here. Here goes.
I did this book, and that was beautiful in 1988.
Use it as?
Now you can, yes, exactly. You can use it for your ass. This is what you said.
For the as toilet paper, that's right.
Yes, as a, it's a little bit sturdy and hardy as
no,
toilet paper.
I don't think it's good.
But no, it shows that to get to know to some things, in the beginning you have to take on things you never will use anymore later.
I have played that clip like 40 times at this point, because the thing that's fascinating is here is he's admitting not only did he study yoga, he actually wrote a whole book about yoga and the poses that he was learning. And then Wim says that all of that knowledge was essentially toilet paper, that, you know, he is the master of his own method now, and he's thrown out all of that knowledge after becoming sort of an expert yogi, and he invented this method sui generis, out of nothing. And he is both a master yogi and the creator of something truly original. But also, very, very important, is where you hear Anum come in the middle of that section, where he prompts his father to call the yogic training toilet paper. Let me just play that bit of the clip again.
In 1988.
Use it as?
Now you can, yes, exactly. You can use it for your ass.
Now, Anum Hof is a very, very curious character when it comes to the Wim Hof method. In fact, there's a good chance that you've never even heard of Wim Hof. I mean, yes, he's sort of in the background of some videos here and there, but he very, very rarely appears giving his own discussions of the Wim Hof method and ice work and those other things. Instead, he gives prompts to Wim to say, well, what he wants Wim to say. Another thing that you may not know about the Wim Hof method, that company, which the company is also called Inner Fire, is that Wim, at least according to the corporate records that I have looked at, does not own the Wim Hof method. In fact, the trademark and the company Inner Fire is solely owned, according to corporate records, by Anum Hof. Wim is actually an employee of the Wim Hof method and Inner Fire. Now, I did a video about this back in January. It is called How Wim Hof Lost His Method, and it's not on YouTube anymore because after I published it, Anum Hof threatened me with lawsuits and got YouTube to take my videos down after he sent them some, well, I guess you could just say fraudulent notices saying that I had violated the Wim Hof trademark and copyright. Eventually, I did get those reversed, but I haven't actually put the video back on YouTube for reasons that we can get into later. However, it is on Rumble, and I'll put a link down in the description below so you can go see what that is all about. But I digress. The important thing here to remember is that Anum is actually giving instructions to Wim to denigrate yoga and to denigrate the past. This is because the Wim Hof brand is built around Wim's image and his ability to tell people that he invented this. If you want to study the Wim Hof method, there is no other place to go. And yes, he has a $300 course that you can take to learn it and then sign up for his in-person breath trainings, which I believe are somewhere around $3,000. Inner Fire needs to have the story out there that Wim invented breathwork and invented ice because, well, honestly, they can't patent it because you can't patent getting into ice water and you can't patent breathwork because these are natural things that we all have. However, in the public image, it's very, very important for the Wim Hof method to project the idea that Wim is the true inventor. But as we will get into a little bit more in this podcast, we will see that that is just not true as is clearly evidenced in that video and in that book that he had, Wim Hof studied Sanskrit and studied yoga extensively enough to learn the language, which means that he was probably familiar with surprisingly similar techniques that exist in the yogic tradition. Now I'm talking about two techniques. The first one is Bhastrika Kumbhaka Pranayama. Bhastrika means bellows breath in Sanskrit. This is supposed to mimic the in and out motion of a forge's bellows with forceful exhales and rapid breathing. Bhastrika has been around a long time, and it's normal for yogis to modify these techniques to what feels right for them. That is a sort of an ordinary thing to happen in yoga. The bellows breath is very, very, very similar to the Wim Hof method. See how those exhales are very, very sharp and loud? That is very similar to what Wim is doing. However, there's another yogic technique also to be aware of. This is called Nesheshaka Reshaka Kumbhaka, which means holding your breath beyond the comfort zone. It is what happens when you do a breath retention and get to that point where you want to gasp and you yet push it even farther. These are the two components of the Wim Hof breathing method. If you've studied the Wim Hof breathing method, it's hyperventilation, that's Bhastrika Kumbhaka Pranayama, and then exhaling and then holding your breath, Nisheshaka Reshaka Kumbhaka, maybe with a little bit of flavor differences, because remember, Wim said there's a lot of gibberish going on in yoga, and he simplified this method, which could be to his credit. It is a slightly different flavor. But it clearly is something that he would have learned when he was studying pranayama, when he was writing a book on pranayama. This was before he used that book as toilet paper. You know, I find it actually a little bit funny that he says that yoga, with all of its very esoteric language, and then he, you know, sort of uses some of that language and shows you how much like gibberish that it actually is.
Prakriti, the Purusha, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, Matar Sarvam, and all that was like Latin or gibberish.
I mean, this is fascinating because one of the critiques that a lot of people have of Wim Hof when he starts going on one of his rants is that he speaks in scientific gibberish. He starts sort of making up science. He goes way beyond what is possible. He says things like, I'm going to win the war on bacteria, and you must speak to your pineal gland, breathe fully in into your soul. Like these things, which, you know, are also sort of esoteric and gibberish, right? He's on one hand, he denigrates yoga for what is trying to be a very specific language around breath work, and then makes up his own esoteric language that honestly a lot of people have trouble following. They don't have trouble feeling it. When you're with Wim, you feel what he's saying and what he means, but actually trying to dissect it, and that's what I do as a journalist, I try to understand what his words are actually saying. Well, oftentimes it's really, really hard, and the thoughts don't connect in an easy manner. But yes, it's clear, Bhastrika Kumbhaka Pranayama and Nesheshaka Reshaka Kumbhaka are the two components of the Wim Hof method that he just squinched together. Now, if you've studied these two techniques from a Hindu master, sort of a priest of some sort, you may have come up with a sort of different variation of that method. In fact, I posted a tweet a few days ago saying, these were two underlying techniques to the Wim Hof method, and people gave me various answers saying like, yes, exactly, that is exactly what it is. And other people saying, actually, there's some nuances that you're a little bit off about. And I think both people are correct, is that people do adapt their yoga practice themselves and have their own sort of version of this, but it still comes from the same root. These are practices that have been around for minimum 400 years, but I think we're actually talking possibly as long as 5,000 years. But that's not all, because you know what? There is another component of the Wim Hof method, which is, as we all know, ice bathing. Getting into the ice bath and then letting those sensations flow over your body and then realizing that you're okay. Ice bathing is critical. It is what Wim is actually better known for than his breath work. It is getting into the ice water. But here as well, clearly, Wim did not invent this at all. I mean, we can go back to the Stoics, right? In ancient Greece, there was an entire philosophical movement about pitting your body against the elements and showing that you can thrive in adversity. The Spartans also did something very, very similar and has been part of the Western and the yogic traditions. I mean, I would almost say since time immemorial, since we had nervous systems, we have had the ability to look at cold water, realize we didn't want to go in there, and then overcome that hesitation and realize that it is enlivening. In the late 1800s, there was a type of therapy called hydrotherapy, which involved various types of water immersion for pain and psychiatric relief. And it was actually a major medical movement. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people participated in hydrotherapy, 1800s. I think all the way up until about the 1940s, this was sort of a big deal. There's also a guy named Porfiry Ivanov, who was a Russian ice bathing mystic, who said that ice baths cured cancer. And he actually looks a lot like Wim Hof with a big white beard and a big barrel chest. He had millions of followers all across Europe until his death in 1983, when Wim was studying yoga. It is clear that Wim, there is almost no way that Wim could have not been aware of wild water swimming. This was a thing that is out there. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote in his book, Thus Spake Zarathustra, "With a wickedness I do begin every day. I mock the winter with a cold bath." All of these people appeared before Wim Hof. What Wim Hof did was package it in a way that you and I and other people were like, oh, maybe I will do it. He is so enthusiastic about the cold that it is hard not to feel that infectious interest in ice water, and it is beneficial. It doesn't, I mean, in many ways, it doesn't matter who invented this from a how my own nervous system feels perspective. But again, let's think about that moment when Anum prompts Wim to call yoga, that book on yoga that Wim poured his effort and life into, when he said, it is toilet paper. This is one of my real problems with the Wim Hof Method and the marketing of the Wim Hof, not the practice of the Wim Hof Method, but the marketing of it, is that it is presented as if this is an entirely new thing that originated from Wim, and there's nothing before it, and they do it because of all of the money that is involved. According to my research, which I did by looking at the Chamber of Commerce records, a place called KVK in the Netherlands, the Inner Fire organization has at least $17 million in assets. There is a new movie coming up with Joseph Fiennes as the star. There is a best-selling book that is, according to BookScan, sold more than 100,000 copies, but I actually think it's many, many more than that. There is money to be had in the Wim Hof Method, and by propping up an image that for Wim, it is original. And indeed, it is far superior to yoga and far superior to all of these other breathwork modalities that now exist in the world. I personally do not like this approach because, you know, if you look at the training literature that Wim Hof's organization puts out, they have this thing called the manifesto. You know, when you sign up to be a Wim Hof Method instructor and you pay, I don't know what it costs, it's like $4,000 or $5,000 to become a Wim Hof Method instructor, they make you sign all of these terms, basically saying you can't disparage Wim, you have to keep up the brand identity, you have all of these guidelines to go that they ostensibly say are for safety, but it really, really reads like a corporate manifesto and securing intellectual property more than anything else. And in the world of commerce, you know, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you have different companies offering different products, and you want to be sure that your market share is better than the other person's market share, and you can charge at a competitive rate or maybe even a little inflated rate to get your crowds to follow you. Well, I think one of my main criticisms against the Western medical system is that it's all about the money. And when the money is also a driving force in the presentation of the corporate Wim Hof method, it's also a problem. And it's very clear that the person who controls the business, who is not Wim, remember, it is his son, Anum, this is where problems really, really get quite big. I think it's totally fine to go out there and say, hey, I learned something from Wim, and he opened the door to me to these techniques that have transformed my life, because that is what I do. Because I met Wim in 2013 and knew something about yoga, knew something about meditation, I'd studied them, but it hadn't really become a habit for me. But I learned Wim's method, and it was very straightforward, and I really, really liked it. So the flavor that he has is really good. You know, I've written a subsequent book that says, like, you know, when you've done the Wim Hof method for a long time, what do you do next? And it's, I call it the wedge. And I have learned a lot because I've moved past the Wim Hof method and I've modified it. But I always, always, always will tell you that it started for me with Wim. What Wim is not doing and what Anum is not doing is saying that it started with them from these other places. And in fact, there is a long tradition here that goes back a very, you know, all the way into the ancients. And you know what? To some degree, it's also the same with the science of the Wim Hof method. And I'm going to do another podcast about that in the probably later this month. But just to give you a little heads up, I was speaking to a neuroscientist who studies the Wim Hof method, actually who performed one of the most important studies, which where he said that the Wim Hof method essentially allows Wim to harness the power of the placebo effect. And they put him into an MRI and actually found the brain regions that lit up. And it's a study that Wim often uses to promote the method publicly and to say, hey, look, I have science behind me. But I was talking to that neuroscientist who ran this study a few days ago. And well, here's what he told me. He says, you know, many techniques that I could have studied, they do the same thing. An inner fire wants to present their method as special. But the results apply to anything that causes hormetic stress. That was a quote. I should probably have done that in a different voice. But many of these techniques that are out there, such as yoga, such as ice bathing from anyone else's method, such as putting yourself in a position of fear and then controlling your those sensations in you, all of those things actually harness the same underlying effect. And there is a thing that Wim Hof does is the inner fire funnels money into research studies that want to use the Wim Hof method because it's very easy to teach people. And that is one of the beauties of the Wim Hof method. And then when the results come back, they say that only the Wim Hof method is the way into that. And when talking with Otto Music at Wayne State University, he's the neuroscientist I'm speaking about, he says, yeah, we could have used a lot of other techniques and come up with the same results. And this, when you hear that, there are two reactions that I expect. Some people will say, how dare you undermine Wim, who made your career? A lot of people say that. Well, it's unfair because my career was, you know, already doing just fine before Wim. But on the other hand, it also should be liberating for someone who hears that these techniques are not restricted to the Wim Hof method, but all of these different competing breathwork techniques out there can tap into very, very similar mechanisms. This gives you an opportunity to go out there and experiment and try different things. And realize that whoever you're learning from has been a door for you to get into that. And it's about your interaction with your own body. So this is really what I had to say about the origins of the Wim Hof method. Bhastrika, Kumbhaka, Pranayama, Nishasheka, Reshaka, Kumbhaka. These are the two breathing patterns that have existed for a very long time and are taught from one yogi to another. It is not completely original to Wim, even though Wim may have opened the door to these techniques for you. Wim is a great man. I find him very, very impressive. But he's not the originator of yoga or ice or anything else. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really, really look forward to doing more. I have a couple really, really amazing podcasts and videos that will be coming out in the next few weeks. I do not want to give you too much of a preview of them, but this video at least should give you some idea of the directions that I am looking. And I have a lot of interviews that are going to be interesting. So please like and subscribe, all of those things that you do. And I have a newsletter, which you can find on my website, scottcarney.com. I really, really love the fact that you've been with me now for 30 minutes. What an honor. Thank you for your interest.